Hola amigos, this is Don Alejandro de la Vega. Welcome to Tropical Paradise Waits. Do you ever dream of living in paradise? Dream no more, my friend. If you are planning on living in the tropics, or if you are a full-on expat, this show is the show for you. Listen and learn how to make the best of your leisure time. It takes more than a plane ticket to fully enjoy the tranquil lifestyle. It is a state of mind. Let's live a better life. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Positive reviews help us rise up the ranks. Please scroll down and click support this podcast. Gracias, and enjoy the show.
Do you want to live your life in paradise? Sure you do. Listen and discover Tropical Paradise Waits for you. Download the Anchor mobile app and search Tropical Paradise Waits. Then tap voice message, send this message. We want to hear from you. Are you tired of paying those high cable and TV bills? Get a shitload of live channels, including movies and theaters, news and sports from your hometown or anywhere in the world for a one-time fee with no monthly payments. Mention Tropical Paradise Waits and get $20 off a fully loaded Fire Stick. Go to don'tpayfortv.com. DONTPAYFORTV.com. I'm live from the seat of my pants in Studio B, beautiful downtown Cabaret. Elusive Media presents Tropical Paradise Waits. Welcome to the beginning. I'm with a couple kite surfers. Lucky for me, there's no wind today, or they would be out on the water. They just returned from a ballsy 9-day motorcycle trip through Haiti. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and share this adventure with you. Boys?
Well, thanks, Frank. I'm Glenn Davis, age 52, living in Cabaretti. And who's this guy beside me?
What is up, everyone? I'm Seth. I am 44 at last count. Seth Lenny, alias Lenny. If you're Dominican, you probably call me Lenny. It's hard to say.
Is that why they were calling you Lenny the whole time?
Yes.
I thought it was an alias.
It might be.
You know, this lady we met on day one of epic riding across Haiti grabbed a piece of chalk and wrote her name by a creek. And we were fumbling through a conversation with her, Frank. And then we wrote our names, and it was all good.
And Glenn had to take it one step too far, didn't he?
I put a heart around our names, like a kind of a love threesome name thing, and she was all blush and everything, but it was her village, right? And she's worried about optics, I guess. So she, in a really sweet moment, just before she went away and wished us goodbye, she rubbed out the heart part, but she left her names.
She rubbed out her name, too.
So it's just me?
Yeah. And me. I'm good.
Oh, God, you serious? We got to go back, man. We got to erase that.
We've been trying to put this trip on for a year. Was it a year ago?
Closer to two, just after I bought my bike, we joked about a Haiti ride doing a week.
Or a long ride. We just wanted to do a long ride.
It was long. It was
turned into Haiti.
1,400 kilometers or
yeah.
something?
Yeah. And then what happened? COVID?
Well, we've been locked down a while. We've been cooped up.
Or I got a job, something. One of these problems.
About a month ago, we finally said, hey, timing looks right. Let's load up. Ordered some gear from Amazon. Fixed up our bikes. Tried to do a test ride. That didn't work out, so we winged it, and we left, 2 weeks ago today?
It was, yeah, Saturday. Good point.
Yeah.
No practice runs.
No practice, but we just went balls to the wall to the border. Dajabon is probably, 6 hours if you stop for goat?
Ish.
Yeah.
Or goat-ish, or yeah. 6 hours-ish?
Dajabon is it's a pretty organized border crossing as far as land crossings in the Caribbean, right? Because they got like 5 windows, and Seth just ripped through them all, left me in the dust. I'm still fumbling with all my papers and money and stuff.
But reading glasses. Reading glasses.
Yeah.
Became a reoccurring theme for the next 9 days.
Yeah, but the best part is by the time you get to window 5, it's all done. You just got to deal with the money exchangers, the kids wanting candy, and then you're off. And what was your first impression of Haiti once crossing?
Fear.
Well, we'd kind of decided to look for data and help out. I was still under the impression at the time that you needed data for Google Maps. Turns out you don't. But anyway, we're bombing along. It's sunset. We found a crappy little town to find some data. That took a good hour. And then I somehow convinced Seth that we had a hotel picked where the UNESCO World Heritage Site called the Citadel is beautiful. But we knew we wanted to get there, but we were facing, we needed to go fast and we needed to get there before dark. So what happened when I started to navigate, Mr. Seth?
I believe we just got hopelessly lost. Is that when we ended up in that little alleyway, the Uganda market thing?
Yeah, I was kind of rushed on the map, and instead of taking the bypass, I took us into a market at dusk, and it just started to close in on us. We finally found a decent spot to turn around. May I tell this next part?
Please.
I have never seen a more James Bond adventure on moto, except for my wife. That's another story. So Seth turns us around, grabs my phone, puts it on his lap, figures out by way the crow flies where we needed to be on the other side of this crazy town, and just blasts through about a 2 meter wide market, second gear, red line, people bailing out of the way, Indiana Jones, James Bond, Evel Knievel, all combined. And it probably went on for 300-400 meters. Had some crazy looks, and I thought, wow, that's going to be a few interesting days ahead of me. I'll just follow this guy from now on.
Had it have been my phone, I probably would have gone a little slower, but.
Good to know. I have a crappy Samsung. It's worth about $200. My photos are actually color, although they look kind of black and white or gray and brown.
Yeah, very vague. So we survived, though. I was stressed out because the one request that I had made before we left to Glenn that day was that we would be off the road by 3 p.m. I didn't want to be anywhere near dark with no destination in mind in a foreign country that neither of us had been to with no plan. And basically that we just got that out of the way right away. That was day one.
I thought the 6 p.m. extrication out of the market worked quite well. It was a little behind schedule, I presume, but we did have a good line straight to this hotel. 50 bones a night. Everything you need, nothing you don't. Although by day two, your floor seemed to wrinkle up like there was an earthquake or something.
I almost fell through it. I don't know what happened because I was walking around that whole night with no issues. And then for some reason, the next day, the tiles just started falling through the floor. And I could hear them tinkle down. Like, I mean, it sounded like a 4 foot drop. So I have no idea what was going on under. And that was a top floor too. We were up like three floors.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on there. Maybe there was an earthquake.
But it's called, anyone going to Milo, Haiti in the next several weeks, I believe it's called La Belle Maison. So we'll put the plug in for those kind folks. They were great. And we stayed a couple nights because Milo is the site of the UNESCO World Heritage Site Citadel, which is just an amazing, it's a brick building. It cannot be blown down by the three pigs whatsoever. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is a sight to behold. I was totally blown away. So we made it to the hotel. We spent the night there and actually did the Citadel as a solo mission the next, so it would have been Sunday. Rode our bikes about three quarters of the way up on that old cobblestone road until they stopped us. The entire way, everyone was trying to stop us and get us on a horse or basically just get us away from our bikes for some reason, but we insisted on riding all the way up. Glenn had fortunately bought a ticket, which I was totally convinced was a complete scam, but they needed it. We got all the way to the top. They actually asked for that thing, didn't they?
Yeah, and that what was kind of neat is hoofing up that 45-minute cobblestone Wizard of Oz-like path. I mean, the landscape, holy crap. Roly-poly hills.
How about that flute guy, though?
That was pretty amazing. How about when I busted into that dance?
Yes, you really endeared yourself to the locals.
I do what I can. Yeah, I'm a man of the people, but the landscape, amazing. We saw our one and only Caucasian tourist that day and said hello. And then we had the Citadel pretty much to ourselves for a couple hours and checked out the rest of the town from that point on. There's also a palace at the base. I think Seth, what's the history on the palace and the citadel? I think you took that in better than I did.
Uh-oh. Yeah, no, somebody asked me about this yesterday, and I realized I had absolutely no idea. I know that they built it in order to move, because there's that palace down at the bottom, and the king was supposed to move up there in case of some kind of invasion, and then they were going to burn everything around them, the scorched earth plan. But I don't think they ever used it.
Yeah, they built it after the French were booted out, right? So they're on their own, independent. And they felt always that the French might come back and, sack the country and kill all the folks for being independent. And I guess it never happened. But the citadel is, even though it's inland, probably 30 kilometers. I think it had some sight lines to the ocean and that front.
Yeah,
end.
We could see Capetian from up there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Everyone says it's in Capetian. It's not. It's about a half hour south, and amazing place to stay. But the people were nice, hey? I mean, especially that guy we met in the bar the first night.
In the bar?
Voodoo concerns, right? So this fella...
Was that the red wine bar? Yeah, that wasn't the first night. It was.
It was. Oh, red wine was second. So the first night was we were doing a walking tour, and we sat in what looked like a pretty cool local bar, and a guy served us beer. And for the whole convo, we thought he worked there. He was just a friendly guy grabbing his beer from the bar because the bartender wasn't bringing it out. And his English was incredible. And that's where the term voodoo concerns came up. Do you remember?
I do. Yeah. He was pretty stressed out that his ability to speak any kind of English was going to result in some voodoo curse being put on him and like subsequent trauma. So he was actually, I don't know if he was playing us or what, but he seemed like he was really freaked out to speak English at all.
He was definitely in stealth mode. I guess, yeah, a lot of folks, especially with the witchcraft and black magic domain, don't want people to get ahead. They don't want people moving overseas, getting educated, learning English. So he was doing it in stealth mode. And after explaining all this, we were in disbelief, and there's an awkward silence, and Seth blink a couple times, and Seth says, "So do you have any other voodoo concerns?" And so that's when we named we had a little WhatsApp chat going just, for a few folks to follow and know that we were safe and so forth. And Voodoo Concerns is what it got renamed to. And that's from that fella.
That was one of the several names that you gave that chat. It's WhatsApp, by the way, Glenn. WhatsApp.
What's up?
WhatsApp.
App?
App. It's an app.
The A is silent?
No. Ah. What's app?
Up. What's up? I'll never get it right. But anyway, so here's the best part. I think the best part are the roads less traveled. And I like to pull out a map in the morning. Seth likes to participate and then deviate. And I thought we were heading up north on day two in Haiti, up and around. But Seth pulled an audible.
Called an audible.
He called an audible, dirt road right, epic, beautiful. That's where we met the lady with the heart. That erased the heart. And then it went up and over this mountain pass, and we got to see the locals living in paradise, roly-poly hills, farm country.
Yeah, that blew me away. I mean, we were following that river for quite a while, and then things just got more and more dramatic as the hillsides closed in on us. I mean, that was really epic. And I'm not just saying that because I picked the road, but it was it was stunning. I couldn't believe we were in Haiti. Like I didn't have expectations before we went, but I mean, that was some of the most beautiful countryside we've ridden through.
Yeah. Well, the TSN turning point that day was in a town called Don Don before we went up and over the ridge. And Don Don had two guys debating what the map was going to do. And Seth kind of lined it up over a river. I'm like, well, it doesn't show a bridge on the map. He's like, well, we're probably going to go through it. Good point. So we did, and that's when it got fun, and that was Don Don. But
that's right. Yeah,
I'm glad you were making the decisions that day.
Yeah, at some point, I don't know if I told you this, but I definitely got a little nervous when that road started turning into less than a road and then became a goat path, and then we found ourselves on a ridgeline like 2,000 meters up in scrabbly rock without a human in sight. I mean, we're looking across these valleys at peaks off in the distance. And I mean, it had been hours since we saw another human being, and we're on a goat track. So I was questioning my navigational abilities at that point.
At least we had the weather going.
yeah, it was too late to do anything about it. So it's just like, press on and don't show any fear to Glenn.
Blind faith will get you through anything. Thank you so much, Seth. I appreciate it.
Ignorance is bliss.
So that road went on most of the afternoon, 2 o'clock or something, and we kind of went through some urban-esque areas. Now, last day, just before we had left...
Hey, do you remember, I was just, sorry to interrupt, but that I was just thinking about that guy, the one guy we did see before that road finally let us out into some type of town.
Selling bread?
That guy wandered up from God knows where, and we tried to talk to him. So far, we'd kind of done okay with random French words and a little bit of Spanish and a little bit of English. This guy was like, he was full Creole. There was no Spanish, no French, no I think I heard French in there, though. There was no French.
It's a mix. We didn't pick it up perfectly, but you can tell we worked on it.
Yeah. Anyways, that was weird. That's when I realized we were kind of out in the boonies.
Yeah. The good news is our horrible Spanish wasn't hurting us.
No, nobody noticed.
Yeah.
Or understood us.
Yeah. And you get to explain to people that, yes, we're Canadian and no, we don't speak French because we're from the West. And then you get through that conversation, and that's usually the way those conversations...
Were there a lot of Canadians going to Haiti or something? I forgot about that. As soon as you said Canada, oh, great, French, and then they just launch into French. So for some reason, everybody in Haiti kind of expected us to speak French because we were from Canada. So there must be some familiarity around that.
I think in Quebec they do, though, right?
Where's Quebec?
East of Manitoba.
I'm from Vancouver, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Me too. Squamish, Vancouver-ish.
Yeah. When did you get here?
Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
Or Franks?
Dominican Republic.
DR, yeah. Sheila, Cairo, and me.
Such a dick.
My family. We've been here 3.5 years. And Cabaretti, just the best little town ever. But before that, we were 6 years down in St. Lucia. And there's, Frank, there's another good interview for the show, Caribbean Living. Boy, that's a nice little island nation.
It's a beautiful island.
Yeah, you've been there. You've sailed there.
Mm-hmm.
You sail, I hear.
Yeah.
Boat.
St. Lucia?
The Pitons. French side was a little rough.
There's a French side in St. Lucia? It's like Canada? English and French side?
Isn't there?
No.
You lived there.
No, lots of French.
Yeah, there was the Pitons of the French side.
Well, Soufrière, sure, that's a very French-ish town.
French-ish, Soufrière.
Well, all the town names. There's about 7 fishing villages and castries, right? And they're all French named. Most of the culture of Saint Lucia actually is French influenced. Most of the laws and stuff are British influenced, and they were part of each country 7 times before they went independent in the late 70s. But yeah, that's a story for another show, I guess.
Hmm. You went right from St. Lucia to here?
Yeah, I had never actually been to DR. Sheila came.
Yeah, me neither.
To explore with her bestie, Tracy. And, you know, after being here 10 days and deciding on either Las Serenas or Cabaretti and getting into only 2 car accidents with the rental, they decided on Cabaretti. And she came back so excited. We got to move there. It's Southeast Asia meets the Caribbean. I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Wow. How did she hear about it? She's come.
Our good friend Beth Ligo, who's an instructor, kiting instructor in Casimbah in St. Lucia, worked here for a couple of years. And then she started her own kite scene in St. Lucia. But she talked often about Cabaretti, and it just sounded like it had a lot of sports and culture and a good vibe to offer. So
I was just thinking about on the way here, and I couldn't remember how long I was. All right.
Wow, that sounds like more stories are coming.
Yes, please. I couldn't remember how long I'd been here, so I had to think about it on the way here, and it was 2015, so it's been like 6 years, literally this month, May 2015. That was the first trip here. I didn't move here permanently then, but progressively spent more and more time. I was over in Puerto Rico in Fajardo and just finished up a job on a boat. And the guy who owned the boat was a super kite enthusiast. So suddenly found myself with some time on my hands, and being exposed to this sport through him, was desperate to try it out, and started looking at kite locations. Lo and behold, Cabaretti is like 100 nautical miles away from us. So came on over, spent, it was supposed to be 2 weeks just to do some kite lessons. And then 3 months later, we just had fallen in love completely. It's an awesome town.
Well, back to Haiti, I guess.
Haiti.
Well, you're just trying to avoid the clutch incident, aren't you? Admit it.
The clutch incident.
We came off day two, I guess, out of the mountains, and it got more urban. And yeah. I had luckily pulled together a few vitals in the bottom of my bag for spare parts. So typically on a journey like this, you might take a clutch cable, spark plugs, air filter, and a throttle cable, right?
This was the longest bike trip that I've ever done, but Glenn has done a massive, massive trip. So he knew a little bit, was a little more prepared than I was. I kind of went into it a little bit casually.
Yeah, yeah.
But you did the full Pan American Highway from where to where?
Well, yeah, that was 15 years ago. Sheila, my fiance at the time, and myself did, what did we do? Vancouver to the bottom of Argentina, and then back up to Canada, coming through Brazil and the Amazon and Venezuela. So that took a year.
I had my normal little kit that I just take on our Sunday rides. And I remember you before the trip saying, hey, I'm at Ricardo's. Do you think we should bring a couple spare cables along? And I was like, I don't care, man. Like, whatever. So fast forward to Glenn's story.
Anyway, Seth's waving me down frantically, and he's coasting along a sidewalk, dodging people and chickens, pointing at his clutch. And we got lost because I thought it's really easy to get lost in cities. And so it was really probably the first time, not the last, that we got mixed up, which is never good on a trip, two bike trip like that.
And just to a little color commentary here, all that nice stuff that we said earlier about the mountains and hills and streams and beauty, just try and picture the exact opposite of all of that. It was a complete shit show in there. It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the vehicles tend to stack vertically bigger than they are long, and they're tight, and it's just chaos, and there's filth. And I mean, for every bit of beauty in the hillsides and landscapes and the people in the countryside, it is negative that in the cities. People just don't seem happy, to be honest. And understandably, Haiti's a tough place, but they're resilient. They're working, they're walking, a lot of commerce and life is happening on the streets, all in full color, fast speed. And it's kind of a bit like India, right? It's a real assault on the senses.
Yeah.
But anyway, Seth had ducked into a moto shop because he just spies these things like Superman. And I'm about 2 kilometers down the road, turn around.
How did you get past me? You were behind me. I swear I almost hit you trying to pull into that place. And then by the time I actually got my bike up on the curb, you were just gone.
Yeah, I knew I had to either do a fast catch up to you, dodging, weaving through trucks and traffic and playing chicken to catch up. And I give myself about 3-4 minutes. And if I can't catch you in that time, then I know I've actually passed you. And so I turned around and came back and saw you, digging into some clutch stuff with a.
Right.
Yeah.
And for a minute there, I thought they were going to have the actual cable. It was a total. And this is one of those random things that. I'd rather be lucky than good moments. When we, first of all, I spot that I can't shift gears. I mean, I'm definitely a lame duck in this traffic. I felt absolutely like just something very bad was going to happen pretty soon. Spy this place, pull in. Not only do I manage to shut the bike down right at this Repuesto, but there's a dude standing there getting his little scooter fix that says, "Hi. Where are you from?" Oh, in perfect
right.
English.
The school teacher. Right.
Yeah, he happens to be like an English teacher
in a
Haitian school. And I was like, wow, this is definitely my lucky day. So that guy managed to talk us through a bunch of stuff with the Repuesto.
Yeah, that was a pretty good experience. I mean, what are the clutch costs? About $1, $1.50 or something? It's cheaper than Dominican parts.
I can't remember. It was because it. Yeah, I can't remember. It was cheap.
DR to me will always be famous for cheap moto and vehicle repairs. I've had an $8 welding job on the bottom of my Ford Escape. We've had a $1 flat tire repair, including chain tightening. And so you get into Haiti, and I actually thought, prices have really come down here on things like clutch replacements.
No doubt. But then you had this, you know, full circle. Then you had the, he couldn't get the clutch cable in the end. Glenn actually has the clutch cable for my bike in his pack. So it was actually quite fortunate. I think I still owe you a beer for that one.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But so we got rolling from that nasty little town. Do you remember the name of it?
I don't. I was just about to ask you. I have no idea, but it wasn't little. It seemed pretty big.
Big enough to have traffic and smells that you want to leave behind. So we made a break for what someone referred to as the Haitian Riviera. It sounds nice. Well,
yeah,
I mean, it took a few hours to get through more towns to get to the Riviera, but I guess in the day, Haiti had a fairly bustling West Coast beach scene, right?
For who? Who went there?
Well, it used to be pretty
Europeans.
Big. Yeah, yeah. Haiti used to be a destination. I mean,
really?
Yep.
Yeah, there were some big old resorts and stuff.
Yeah.
Indicated on the map. I mean, when we got down there and drove down, there wasn't even really a road. It was like a dirt road along the sandy palm tree. Remember that old swimming pool? There's like a swimming pool on the beach with all those kids hanging out in it. It's
yeah.
just like green, gross water, but there's nothing around it.
Strange. Yeah, that was a mix of old school Haitian resorts and private homes by probably, you know, politicians and business elite up from the capital. Because by the time we hit that town, we're only an hour and a half from Port-au-Prince. And that seemed like the vacation town, even today, for richer folks. Now, we did the dirt road mainer looking for accommodation about 4 o'clock, 4:30. These teenagers fingered me, and I don't know, it just really hit me hard. I didn't see it, and I told you about it later. I was kind of down in the dumps, and they fingered me, and I'm like, oh, that's not, you know, that welcoming. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Like, oh, but anyway.
Was it the kids at the pool?
No. It was just when we came out of the neighborhood where obviously all the staff stay. It's kind of a little ghetto in that area. We hung a left to go up to the main street looking for a place. And they fingered me. I'll never forget it.
Once again on this trip, now this is day two, and we're, I think, batting 100 on that. Like, here we are, twilight, dusk, still don't have a place to stay, wandering around lost in Haiti, wondering where our accommodations were going to be for that night.
Well,
why did that keep happening?
Well, I don't think we had a lot of planning time or intel. We just kind of thought, let's wing it. And like, your 3 o'clock idea is pretty good, I guess, but you're losing about 4 hours of daylight if you cling to it, man.
Yeah.
There's a buffer.
So we turn left and spot the red door. Is that right?
Yeah, the red door guest house. Awesome.
That's right. So then our next surprise was the guy swings this gate open and also says in perfect English, "Hello, can I help you?" But that was a Haitian dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a missionary. Was it Dave and Stacy, right? Couple of, I'm going to say missionaries, super chill, laid back, awesome folks, helpful from Nebraska. Yeah, and Cassie, young, energetic, doing good works down there.
Blonde,
and popular with the fellows, I think.
Blue eyes,
did we mention that?
Yeah, she had was that her boyfriend?
Carter? Yeah. Yeah, helpful guy, man. He was Haitian, cool hair, cool Haitian fella. And he came over and in unison, Carter, Cassie, Dave, and Stacy are like, no, you don't understand. You can't go to Port-au-Prince.
Yeah, things started to get to back up a little bit though, actually. So our plan at this point was, I mean, we weren't sure what to expect with Haiti, period. So we were always just ready to turn around and bail out if we kind of weren't getting a positive vibe. As we moved further and further into the country, and now this Haitian Riviera place, we're all the way over on the West Coast. So even though, sorry, I think I said day two earlier, but that's actually day three. Even though we're only on day three, those are three long riding days. We were well into Haiti. And at that point, I was quite a bit less interested in turning around. But we knew that we were approaching this funnel and bottleneck that drops down towards Port-au-Prince. So everything so far had been going pretty well. And then Port-au-Prince was the big question mark. We told everybody at home before we left, there's no way we're ever going to go through Port-au-Prince. Don't worry. And if we have any issues, then that's where we'll bail out.
We're out here in the middle Seth and Glenn will be back next week for part two of this three-part series, Voodoo Concerns, a nine-day motorcycle adventure through the third world country of Haiti. They will begin next week with stories from the well-known city of Port-au-Prince. Don't forget, we drop a new show every Sunday. We can't use published music, so this gives us the opportunity to go out with local undiscovered talent, and it gives you the opportunity to discover it. Don't miss out on this one. Staying with the Haitian theme, here's an artist and my friend from Haiti, Daddy Daz. He's a hip-hop and a reggaeton talent. Let's hear what he has to say. Then we'll listen to one of his high-energy tunes, Uninterrupted, in its entirety after the credits. What's the name of the town that you come from in Haiti?
I come from Altibonite.
Altibonite.
Yeah, Altibonite.
Altibonite. Is it muy lejos para Port-au-Prince? So?
Yeah, Port-au-Prince is far. It's so far.
Oh, you
want? Yeah, where I'm from is close. Gonaive.
You on the water?
Yeah.
So yeah. would it be considered a beach town like this or?
Yeah, and San Marco, this is the same place. San Marco have the beach, same like Republic Dominican, have the good beach, you know, everything.
Yeah. What do people do there? Do they have sugar cane or tobacco or?
What the people make?
What do the people do? Like, how do they sustain themselves? Like, what do they do for a living? For work?
But, over there, where I'm from, the people make rice, you know. Uh-huh. They make rice, you know. They have something like, you know, to make rice, patata, you know, and beans, you know.
Hard work, farmers.
Yeah. That's right. Mango, something like that. A lot of things different. But, you know, now I got like 6 years, I'm never gonna hate it. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I cannot tell you what the people do anymore, right. You know?
Yeah, I've never been. I wouldn't mind going one day to check it out. Maybe I'll go with you. I'd like to have somebody with me.
We never know.
Show me around.
We never know. Maybe we go together.
Yeah, man, that'd be cool. I'd like to check it out one day.
Of course, because you see what you enjoy life. Because life is too big, so. You supposed to know somewhere different anytime in the life. Like me, I didn't know Republic Dominican, but now I'm in Republic Dominican. And you know, ça passe, que lo que?
Que lo que? Todo bien, que lo que? Now, we're down here at Dominic's Bar on the beach.
Dominic Bar, this is the place where I work, you know, 65. And here, we got food, drink, everything, you know, good place too.
Lots of tables and some shade. It's probably, I think it's the busiest place on the beach. And it's busy because of Dominic. Dominic's quite the character. And Daddy Daz. He's got a pretty good staff working here. People you like to stop and say hello to.
Yeah. We just keep watch. We just keep fight, you know, with life.
All right, brother. You got anything else to add today?
I ain't got it. Anything.
All right, well.
So I want to say big up back to the girl, you know, bad girl. These ladies know the music too. These ladies is hard too, you know. I big up you, bad girl. I big up all my fans, you know, and Instagram, Facebook, you know, and YouTube too. I big up all. You know, my fans, you know me, still follow me on Instagram and Facebook, you know, and YouTube too.
Okay, I'll repeat that information a little bit later in the show, and at the very end of the show, after the credits, we'll play some of Daddy Daz's music uninterrupted in its entirety. So we look forward to that.
YouTube, Daddy Daz.
That's the most important.
Yeah. Instagram, James Pierre 29. Facebook, James Pierre.
Good.
Let me explain in Spanish too. WhatsApp. 829-274-9270.
French, well, French and French Creole, Spanish and English, and I speak English and some Spanish, and I still have a hard time with English, so it gets a little confusing down here. A lot of us speak a combination of Creole.
What's Spanish. Up? Okay, what's up? So we got a H 29 275 92 78.
Let me try it. 829-274-9278. That's WhatsApp. You can always leave a message or talk to Daddy Daz. Any record producers or anyone in the business, this is a good opportunity to get a young and upcoming musician on your side.
Yeah, yeah. Big up tout moun. Ma fè nou la nan kala la, nou kon sa le deja. Ou pa preol liye, ou pa preol le foutse, nou kembe sa bo isi. Ou ap chen kolonel Luson, Daddy Das. E pi gen lò toujou, sek le foke, a do do swag, you know, men. Ma tout sa le tout moun net an general. MC Pusse, mbo, love la tou. Samba bliye yo, so mba nou love la, nou kon sa le deja. Mese kembe fem, palage, ou pa toujours mettre force travail pour nous arriver côté nous aller à nous comprendre moi et puis one love tout le monde net mon Instagram Facebook yo passé by love là check your daddy da sur YouTube Instagram James Pierre 20 numéro James Pierre 29 Facebook James Pierre da 7 follow me.
Let me repeat that for you in English. Don't forget to go on YouTube and look up Daddy Daz's music. When you're in Sosua, stop and see him down at number 65, and stop and have a beer and chill out on the beach. And he's looking forward to hearing from you. Any suggestions or any advice anyone has, he's more than welcome to listen to it. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, bro.
And I'm going to download this, and then we'll sit and chat for a little while if you get a minute, okay?
All right, bro. No
all right, problem. Bro. Thanks, man. Love
all
you.
All right, one love.
Today's credits are as follows. Thank you to our program director,
Don Alejandro de la Vega,
our editor and fact checker,
They'll Never Know,
our chairperson,
Wilma Butfit,
fleet managers,
Lisa Carr,
our charm consultant today is
the always charming Miss Inga Tooth,
Tiki Bar Reviews by
Hassan Ben Sober,
our favorite divorce attorney,
Carmine, not yours.
Our credit counselor is
Max Stout.
And our fashion designer today,
Hugh Jass.
And of course, our download counter,
Adam Ilion.
If you enjoyed the show, help us continue by scrolling down and clicking support for this podcast.
They is still on the beat.
Yeah. Alors quoi, man, let's see shit pot off.
Allo la police, mes colonels a bêtifé. Quel ok, ouéa, ouéa, et pas plié mes moliades.
Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé. M'a touché à Master Will et m'a j'oublie pas moi. Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé. M'a touché à Blanc des Chili et tout Blanc des Brésil. Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé. M'a touché à Fama Haïti, yo bitches dans ses domaines. Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé.
L'aime de fait qu'entrer dans le rap, m'a touché à talent positif. M'a pas de gros talent négatif. C'est négla tibonite. La tibonite, j'aime négocier normal pour me faire bruit. Ok. Pour l'autre, yo passe droite, m'a y'a train. Mais même si c'est pas qu'on y a somme pour prendre un trophée, ya. Pour chaque crack, moi fais. Fanny, tu sais pas choléra. Et tout le monde connaît très bien pour la créole, ma crampé là. En passant, ma big up majestic, central calé de yen. Action de commencer qui fait jodi à ma fébri. Et pas oublier fanatique. Ensemble, ma photo gang qui te conduit, qui est bétri. Pour m'en battre contre civilio, ça sont ça, il fait. C'est pas ça fait craquer. Oui, c'est ça fait gangster. C'est ça que ça me fait aider. C'est ça fait tous les saisons. C'est nous même qui
meillons.
Mais moi, Delidas, laisse la paix. Sans la page, j'aime faire l'acheter. Tout un gars qui est actif, n'a rien de y'a trouvé flow. Tout un gars qui est studio, a dit, watch a classe, m'y'a pris un show. Y'a nos pommes, c'est la Didas. Ça m'y'a c'est toi, bas. Fait que y'a pas de plus problème qu'on sous-tête, ça m'a fait des gars. Y'a pas chargé à basse, y'a plein de tuyaux, monopole. Pour moi, sous paquet, monotone. Comme y'a marié, sous pas seconde. Même y'a changé, sous pas seconde. Zakira, il m'fond. Net à l'boué, bégonde. Rapté là depuis 1000 ans. Personne pas de café l'argent. Somme juste paraître dans y'on clin d'œil. Y'a gars, j'aime pas faire l'argent. So, ouais.
Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé. Allo général Christa.
M'a plié Toto Kim.
Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé. Allo commandant Bougoy.
M'a pas plié Tiché.
Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé. M'a chada Matéli.
M'a pas plié Jovenel.
Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé. M'a chada Blondé la France, yo et Blondé Miami, yo. Allo la police, mes colonels à Métifé. M'a chada Nega Haïti, yo et tout Nex Saint-Domingue, yo. Ça n'est qu'à faire les écrits, ça m'a fait aller les lobes. You know that? Pas comparé next soit à next one.
Yeah, yeah, daddy motherfucking dash, fit you and colonel with son.
Allo la police, mes colonel up met défi. Allo la police, mes colonel up met défi. Allo la police, mes colonel up met défi.
Yeah, allo BBC tout le temps.